Thank you for that, Larry and Auden. That was wonderful. So good to see all of you this morning and to worship the Lord together with you. I hope everyone was able to get a bulletin, or at least each family was able to get a bulletin, because inside that bulletin is this little insert here that I made reference to last week, and we're going to keep referring to it over the next several weeks together as we dive into this series called Fitting In. And what we're trying to do is to discover where each of us fits within God's great master plan for all of creation. Last week we talked about how from eternity past, God had in his mind the church, those who are united to his Son, and the church is central to his purposes for all of creation. And we talked about how in eternity to come, that all things in heaven and on earth will be united under the headship of Christ. And so, with that in mind, our task is to see all of life, all of our purpose, all of our identity in the present in light of these two eternities. Eternity past, eternity in the future, and our lives now today. Now, Aaron, as we mentioned, Pastor Aaron has worked to produce this helpful chart for us. We're calling this the EMC growth track. And so our point is we want to create different categories for each of us to be able to look at this and say, this is where I am. This is where I see myself in this progression through the Christian life. And so this progression, you'll notice in that first column there, begins with receiving an unchanging identity. And I think that's significant, that when we're trying to figure out who we are and where we fit within the grand scheme of everything, it's important to begin with this question of identity, this question of who I am. And that question always precedes what we do. We don't define ourselves by our function. We define ourselves differently, and we're going to talk about that a little bit this morning. If the church is central to God's eternal purposes, and if the church is comprised of those who are united to his Son, the question then is, how do we become part of the church? How do we become united to the Son? How do we even get on this growth track to begin? If we are analyzing ourselves and asking questions about our lives, and we're saying, well, I'm not even sure I'm a Christian. Well, the question is, how do you move from there to here? And that's what we're going to be looking at this morning. Now, this is also, as you have noticed, our family fifth Sunday. So each month of the year, usually it's 4 months of the year, we have a unique month in that it has 5 Sundays. And so whenever we have a month with a fifth Sunday, we take that fifth Sunday, we give the kids zone workers that normally do children's church, we give them a break. And we invite the children in to worship with us through the whole service. And so you may notice around you, there's young persons that have not been given the opportunity to go to children's church. Normally, right after the offertory, someone comes up and grabs a microphone and invites all the kids forward. And I was actually wondering if any kids would just, out of muscle memory or habit, just come up anyway. But fortunately, I was the only one that got up, and so everyone did a good job. No one got up when they shouldn't, and you'll notice the kids are with us this morning. And whenever we have the kids with us, we always try to find a way to engage them. And so the kids all have special bulletins, and Margaret, I'm sorry to say, their bulletin is better than yours because theirs have blanks. Margaret Twyford loves blanks on Wednesday night Bible study. That's her favorite thing. I think that's the only reason she comes to Bible study. It's not to study the Bible. It's to fill in the blanks on the handouts that I give out. No, I'm just kidding. We know Margaret loves the Bible. But the kids have special bulletins that they can fill in the blanks as they listen closely to the sermon. And I promise you that when the answer to your blanks comes up, I've got Justin up in the booth. He's going to help me. We're going to put up a slide up on the screen so you cannot miss the answer. And I'm pretty sure Marcy's got a special treat for you if you come with your bulletins completely filled out. And kids, don't be like Savannah and think you know the answers before you get to them. She told me already she knew what some of the answers were, but I challenged her to, she still has to listen, even if she thinks she knows what they are. So kids, pay close attention. We're going to try very hard this morning to preach and connect this morning's message with the movie we watched last night. Raise your hand if you're able to make it to the movie night last night. We had a pretty good crowd. We actually had several families that weren't even a part of our church that came out. We had a great time. I figure we had 60 or 70 people here. And we enjoyed watching the 2016 version of The Jungle Book, which is was a lot of fun. We had popcorn, and it was a really good time to spend together as families. And I'm going to try to tie references from that movie into the message this morning, okay? So if you're an adult and you haven't seen the movie, which is okay, I guess. I hope you know something about The Jungle Book. I think everyone in here should know at least something about that story. We're going to try to connect some dots here today. Now, The Jungle Book, of course, has a dilemma in it. It has a major dilemma. And it centers on this young boy named Mowgli. And Mowgli, he never asks the question explicitly in the movie, but it's running throughout the course of the movie under the surface. It's right there, begging to be answered. And that question that he's asking is basically, who am I? He's trying to figure out who he is. His parents, of course, were killed when he was a baby. And as the story goes, he was saved by a panther and he was raised by wolves. I defy you to have a more exciting childhood story than that. All he knows as this child is being a wolf. And while that's very cute for us, and it's a gripping and engaging story that we're entertained by, it really creates this instant tension for those of us who are watching. From the very first scene in the movie, as he's running through the jungle, it looks like he's running for his life, but really he's just practicing running as a wolf through the jungle. And from that very first scene, it's very apparent to everyone that as much as he thinks he is a wolf and as hard as he is trying to be a wolf, he is definitely not a wolf. Now, this is apparent to all of us, the audience, but apparently it's not apparent to him. And so this whole story, this child is trying to sort out these questions about who he is, where he came from, and what his place is in the world. Now, most of us, if not every one of us, we wrestle with the same questions, don't we? We can relate to these fundamental issues that Mowgli is wrestling with. Who am I? What am I here for? What is my place in this world? Life in this world is one where we're forced to answer these fundamental questions of identity. Now, those of us who are in tune with our culture and with the news, you know that issues pertaining to identity are a hot topic these days. And I'm actually in the next sermon series following this one here in just a few weeks. We're gonna dive deep into some of those hot button issues. And so you'll get more information about that as the weeks come along. But the world all around us is full of all sorts of options for us to discover who we really are. Now, for Mowgli, everywhere he goes in the jungle, everyone he comes across in this adventure to try to sort through all these questions, everyone he comes across wants him to be a part of their pack. But you know, the common denominator running through each of these invitations is that all of these groups and individuals have some sort of self-interest for themselves in mind. They're not offering inclusion to Mowgli for his benefit, but for their own. It starts with that lovable bear, Baloo. Remember how he wanted Mowgli to be part of his group, didn't he? Do you remember what he wanted him for? To help him get what? Honey, that's right. He wanted him to use his human tricks, those things he could do with his opposable thumbs, to help Baloo get something that he had sought after but couldn't get to. And so, yeah, while they formed a friendship, and in the end that friendship ended up being mutually beneficial, at least from the onset, Baloo is only interested in Mowgli and for what Mowgli can do for him. What about King Louie, that big monkey in the temple? Do you remember what he wanted Mowgli for? What did he want Mowgli to get him? The red flower. Some of you like the red flower way too much. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, it's right here before you. It's fire. You pyromaniacs in here love the red flower. And King Louie wanted the red flower so that he could control the jungle. And so Mowgli to him was a tool that he could use to meet his own ends. And of course, there's that cunning snake, Ka. What did Ka want Mowgli for? For food. That's right. That's right. Ka wanted to make him her meal. You see, the jungle for Mowgli was full of promises of inclusion and fulfillment. But at some level, every one of those promises were deceptive. And in the same way, the real world that all of us live in is full of promises for identity and inclusion and fulfillment. But unfortunately, too many people seek to find themselves in all the wrong things. And instead of finding themselves, they actually lose themselves. People lose themselves in destructive relationships or addictions or certain types of behaviors, all in the search of discovering purpose and identity and meaning for their lives. And so people define themselves according to all the wrong things. We define ourselves according to our work or our hobbies or our orientations. We're searching for the question of who I am apart from the God who created you to be who you are. And as Paul says in the beginning of Romans, in our wisdom, apart from God, we become fools. The truth is this. You and I are only ever going to find our true identity and purpose as we fit into the purposes and plans of God. And kids, this is your first blank, so I hope you have your pencils ready. You and I, all of us, are a piece of God's jigsaw puzzle. God has lovingly, personally crafted each person in here this morning. You are utterly unique. There will never be another like you. Now, some of you are looking at me and saying, thank God that there's no one else like him. There's just one of him. All joking aside, though, every one of us is utterly unique. There will never be another person like you. And God has created you specifically for himself and for some particular purpose in his plan. And his plans are good and his plans are perfect. And he's working to produce the greatest good in every aspect of your life. And despite conventional wisdom of our day, you, just like Mowgli, are not just another animal. I think one of the keenest observations in the whole movie was almost, if you blink or if you're not paying attention, if you're focusing on your bag of popcorn, you may have missed something that Baloo says about Mowgli as Mowgli is dangling from a vine trying to cut him loose some honeycomb. There's a bird alongside of him who's watching this spectacle as Mowgli's getting stung by all these bees, and the bird is referring to Mowgli as a monkey, to which Baloo says, it happens so quickly you almost miss it. He says, he's not a monkey. He's not a monkey. There's something different about him. And friends, you and I are not monkeys. You and I are distinct from the rest of creation. God had us in mind when he created us to be set apart. You and I bear the image of God. Nothing else in all of the animal kingdom can say that. We are unique. Humanity is the pinnacle of God's creation. And you and I can never understand who we are, what our value is, what our purpose is, apart from that one who created us in his image with plans in mind for our lives. You and I were created by God the Father for an eternal purpose. And we talked about this last week from Ephesians 1. And it is this: to be united to his Son and to be adopted as his children. So for you and for me, as we're trying to answer this question, who am I? It's really a more important question. And really, until we answer this second question, we'll never be able to answer the first. And that is the question of whose am I? Before anything else, we have to answer this question, who am I in Christ? None of the other sources of identity or purpose or meaning in your life precede God's for you. His purposes for you precede all of time and space. And by the way, his design for you will outlast all of time. So if you're ever going to figure out who you are, you can only understand that in light of whose you are. It is your union with Christ. It is your adopted sonship from God. That is where your identity comes from, as a child of the Father in heaven. It's what you were created for. It's what God is working toward. And it is the only thing that lasts forever in your life. Everything else that promises you fulfillment and identity and inclusion is insufficient at best and evil or destructive at worst. Do not be mistaken, you know this as well as I do, that there are forces in the world, and those forces in the world would love nothing more than to prevent you from having an unchanging identity in Christ. This, of course, is graphically depicted in the movie. There's all sorts of forces at work in the jungle to keep Mowgli from ever fulfilling who he is or what he's supposed to be or do. Of course, the main antagonist is that lion, Shere Khan, which is funny. Last night, our 4-year-old Will watched the movie. Well, he watched most of the movie. The parts of the movie, he missed some parts of the movie. Either he was digging in a bag of popcorn, or he was hiding his face from the scary tiger. And yet, when we got home last night, I said, Will, what was your favorite part of that movie? He says, I like the tiger stuff. He liked the tiger. It's interesting. The thing that scared him the most was the thing that he ended up liking the most. And he went around last night clawing and scratching at everybody. So that didn't work out too good. We probably should have thought that one through a little bit better. But Shere Khan, what does Shere Khan represent in this movie? Well, he is a symbol of death. And I appreciate what the directors chose to include in the movie to illustrate this point. Every time Shere Khan was on the scene, there were vultures hanging around because they knew that wherever this tiger went, he would leave death and destruction in his wake. And what's interesting is he makes it very clear. He doesn't just want Mowgli, this man cub, to leave the jungle. He wants Mowgli to die. He wants to stop Mowgli from becoming whatever he would become. He says it clearly in the movie. I don't want him to become a man. I don't want him to realize who he really is. And the snake, of course, the snake that's seducing Mowgli, the snake is promising him all these things that are good. If you just come to me, I'll show you your past. I'll provide protection for you. I'll provide blessing for you. I'll give you fulfillment in your life. And oh, by the way, I'm seducing you so I can prepare you for my meal. The plan is not to do anything for Mowgli, but to devour him. King Louie, the one who's seeking the red flower, in exchange for Mowgli's help, he offers him the world. And all it costs is his enslavement. You come and do what I need you to do, and I'll give you everything you want. But by the way, you'll be my slave. You know what? Your life and my life aren't much different than that. From the world that is around you to the devil that is beside you to the sin that is inside of you, temptation abounds for all of us to see life and identity and meaning in anything other than what God intends for your life. But I want you to take heart today. I was reminded this week of the great words penned by Martin Luther that though this world with devils filled should threaten to undo us, we will not fear. For God hath willed his truth to triumph through us. What is this truth? Well, it is a promise more sure than the sunrise. It's a promise that's in Romans chapter 10 that's printed in your bulletins. It is a promise in verses 9 and 10 that says, if you openly declare that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is by believing in your heart that you are made right with God, and it is by openly declaring your faith that you are saved. That promise of eternal, abiding life as sons and daughters of God is offered here and now. I had coffee earlier this week with a friend from our church here, and we had a great conversation. And as he was talking about how the Lord saved him, he used these words that resonated with me and stuck with me all week. He says, by a miracle of God's grace, I was saved. He wasn't saved by anything that he did. He wasn't saved by anything anyone else in the world did. He was saved by what Jesus Christ did. An act of grace freely offered to him. A miracle where his life was transformed from something old to something new. 2 Corinthians 5:17. If anyone is in Christ, kids, this is your next blank. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone. The new has come. You become in Christ something entirely new. It's not God just picking you up and dusting you off a little bit and then sending you back out the way you were. No, it's not restoration. It's regeneration. In Christ, we become something entirely new. That old is gone. The new has come. Born again into an incorruptible life. And if we belong to Christ, we are united to him. We are no longer slaves to sin. We are made alive in him, conformed again to his image, free from condemnation, free to walk, not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. We possess new hearts, blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. We become part of the body of Christ with other believers. And though this world is with devils filled, Paul's promise once again in Romans chapter 8 is overwhelming victory is ours. For we are more than conquerors through Christ who loved us. These promises, according to Hebrews chapter 6, these hopes, this hope of new life in Christ is a strong and trustworthy anchor for your soul. And so that question I pose to you again is not, who are you? The question I pose to you today is, whose are you? To whom do you belong? Any person who has ever tried to define themselves according to themselves, anyone who has ever tried to understand their purpose in life or what they're here for based on themselves has only ever found emptiness and meaninglessness. And that is true for anyone trying to find answers about their lives in anything or anyone in the world. But the good news is today that God created you. God desires for you to belong to Him. And kids, lastly, God wants you to join His pack. God wants you to join His pack. Christ has come. Christ has given His life that you and I might receive an unchanging identity that is forever in Him, if only by faith we confess with our mouths and believe in our hearts. The church, the body of Christ, is not only central to God's purposes for the world, the church is central to your place in God's great master plan. You don't lose yourself when you come here. You find yourself. You don't become less of who you are when you come into the body of Christ. You become who He created you to be. If God's purposes for eternity are centralized, are worked out in the world through the church, then God's plan for you that precedes time and space and will last forever can only be understood in the context of His church, His people. And I make reference once again to the movie from last night, this law of the jungle that is repeated all throughout over and over again, that the strength of the pack is in the wolf, and the strength of the wolf is in the pack. In the movie, there's this sense that the pack exists as this union of individuals, but each individual finds their strength in the whole. I think that's a really helpful picture of the church, at least in terms of our identity. Yes, the church is made up of individuals, but each individual understands who they are in Christ, in the congregation, in the fellowship, in the body of Christ. Paul says in Colossians 3, to put on your new nature, to be renewed as you learn to know your Creator and become like Him. In this life, it doesn't matter if you are a Jew or a Gentile, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbaric, uncivilized, slave or free. Christ is all that matters. And He lives in all of us. It doesn't matter who or what you were before. What matters is who you are and can become in Him. You can find yourself here. You can find yourself forever in Christ. He wants to give you an unchanging identity. And it's only then that you ever understand that question, who am I? Who am I? That handout that I referred to earlier, it has not only a vision, it only has a scripture, but it has an action and an assistance. If you are evaluating your life and you sense God leading you to make a decision for Christ, this is your action step. To follow Jesus, to confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and to believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead for you. And you can receive this day an unchanging identity that can never be taken from you, that can never be destroyed, God has given it to you forever. That's what I'm trying to say. You can receive that today. And if you need help, the assistance point is to meet with a pastor. Pastor Aaron, Pastor Jeff, myself, we are here to help people understand how to take the next step in their life in Christ. Now, we have some individuals here today with us who have made some important decisions about their lives in Christ and their lives in this church. And so we're going to transition now to a time of welcoming some folks into the church, and we're going to have some baptisms this morning. Okay, so I'm going to pray, and as I pray, I'm going to invite the Harris family first. They're going to make their way. I'm going to have them stand just right up here. And they're going to come now as I'm praying, and then we're going to move to this last portion of our service together. Lord, thank You Thank you for this opportunity this morning to evaluate who we are, but more importantly, whose we are. We're never going to understand the answers to those questions until we understand that you, Jesus, have died to give us life that lasts forever and to create for us identity as sons and daughters of the Father. Lord, help us to respond to this invitation this morning with faith. To say, I've searched for meaning and identity and purpose and everything else in the world, and I've come up empty. But Lord, I want you to define who I am. And in so doing, give me fill me with the meaning and the purpose and the vision of all that you created me to be. Lord, help us in these coming moments to believe and to act and to speak and to worship and to live in such a way that brings you glory. Help us to live every moment in the present in light of your two eternities. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. So if the Harris family would come up, I'm going to have them stand up right up here in the middle.